Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. In your Scofield Reference Bible, page 1214. 1 Corinthians, chapter 3. We'll be reading verses 1 through 3. And then we'll turn to yet another passage after that. Let's stand, please, for the reading of these verses. I want us to read these verses in unison, just these three verses, before turning to the next passage. And let's read, please. Ready? And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now turn to the book of Matthew. And Matthew, I've got it here somewhere. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 39. And reading through the rest of the chapter, page 1001 in your Scofield Bible. Starting with verse 39, we'll read the verses responsively through verse 48. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you, and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And let's pray. And Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we have our Bibles. Thank you that we have this resource. And it's a faithful, faithful book. Thank you for giving it. Thank you for giving us our preacher to preach the book. For faith cometh indeed by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Help us to hear thy word. And to hear it more than with our ears, but with our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to read for you a verse or two without your turning to it. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I want you to notice this morning that little word, babes. And then I want to read for you just another, without your turning to it again, one of the verse. Read a while ago. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. When I was a little boy, my mother always thought that I was more important than the house. In fact, if you've seen our houses, you'd know why she thought I was more important than the house. But there's one thing that I know. I know we had a set of world books. And I could cut them up. Now, I wouldn't advise you to let your children do that, but my mother let me cut them up. I was making a poster at school or making a notebook at school. I could cut an article out of the world book, cut a picture out of the world book. My mother used to say, when Jack's gone, we haven't got use of the world books. Mother couldn't read. And then another thing she let me do. I always wanted to get bigger. Every boy, every child wants to get bigger. So my mother would put a marks on the door for every 6 inches. There's a 3 foot mark and a 3 foot six mark and a 4 foot mark, and then when it got up past 4.5, it was every inch up all the way till 6 feet. And I'd measure, boy, I'd stretch like that, you know, and because I wanted to grow. Now this morning I'm going to put the measuring stick up against your spiritual life, or against your emotional life, against your life, and I want to see how grown you are today, see how much you've grown in the Lord. I want to talk today on the subject, what is spiritual maturity? I promise you that 99%, if not 100% of you, have never noticed what I'm going to give you this morning about this particular scripture. Not only will it help you, but you'll learn something as I speak on the subject, what is spiritual maturity. Father, bless this message to our hearts today, and me as I speak to the hearts and lives of the people. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father, or Father in heaven, is perfect." Now what he's saying, grow up. The word perfect means mature. Jesus is saying, grow up. And he's saying just the contrary of what he said about the Christians at Corinth, when he said, I couldn't speak unto you as mature, but as carnal, even as babes in Christ. I'd like to measure this morning, but I want you to notice this. And we won't turn to it, but he said, be ye therefore perfect. And then he said, that ye may be children of your heavenly Father. In fact, I think I'll look at it, be sure I got it exactly right. It says, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Now the word child there is a very interesting word. It's the word huios, in the Greek. It's the word that is used for son when Jesus was called the Son of God. It's not the word that's used for infant. It's almost always used for like the Son of God or the sons of men. It's a word that I would use, say, most all the time it was used, and I would use it for adult children. He's telling us here that we're supposed to be adult children. And then he's telling us in verse 48 that we're supposed to be mature. He said, be ye therefore perfect, or be ye therefore mature, even as your Father in heaven, or your heavenly Father, is mature. Now I want to take this word, and I want you to follow me carefully. I want to take this little statement, be ye therefore perfect, or be ye therefore mature. Now, this is a command of God. Jesus didn't say, I wish you'd get mature. He said, be ye therefore mature. Right. It is a command. You said, I've been saved for a long time, haven't grown up, then you're disobedient. Right. God said, be ye therefore. And by the way, it's in the future perfect here, but it means be ye therefore, be becoming mature. Be maturing, I guess you'd say. Be maturing. Be more mature today than you were yesterday. Be more mature tomorrow than you were today. Now then, in order to understand what this maturity is, I want you to notice the context, and you won't turn to it, but I want to quote a few of the things that are said. The context. Now, back in verse 39, Jesus said, resist not evil. Don't leave me now. He said, resist not evil. Now, that doesn't mean that you're supposed to give in to drink. Doesn't mean you're supposed to give in to sin. The word evil there is a word when people hurt you. Resist not people when they hurt you. Don't fight back. That's what he's saying. Don't fight back. Now, this is the context ended by, be ye therefore mature. He said, don't fight back. Then in verse 39, he said, if somebody smites you on the right cheek, he said, turn the other also. Now, this is in the context of being mature. He's going to close this all out saying, be ye therefore perfect, or be ye therefore mature. Now, in the context of that, he said, resist not people that do evil to you. And then he said, if somebody smites you on one cheek, turn the other. On the right cheek, turn the left cheek also. Now in verse 40 he says, if a man sue you and take away your coat, let him have thy cloak also. Now in those days they wore two coats, you might say, much like a suit that we used to wear that has a vest.
If they sue you and take away your suit coat, give him your vest also. That's what he's saying. If they take away the outer coat, give him the inner coat also. Don't leave me now. He's talking about being mature here. And the context of being mature says, if a fellow turns you, hits you on the right cheek, turn the left the other cheek also. And if somebody does you evil, don't resist it. And if somebody sues you in court and gets your coat, take off your vest and give it to him also. Then he says in verse 41, if someone compels you to go a mile, go with him too. If somebody forces you, you've got to run a mile, then you run the second mile also. Now, that's talking about being mature. The whole context here is God is telling us how to be mature. How are you mature in Christ? If somebody hits you on the right cheek, turn the other. How you mature in Christ? First person forces you to go to mile, go with him too. How do you get mature? A person takes you to court and gets your coat, give him your cloak or your vest also. And then he says in verse 44, the climax of all of this, he says, love your enemies. That's one of those little measuring sticks on the door here. Love your enemies. Now all of this closes with the statement, be you therefore perfect or be you therefore mature. And it also closed with a statement that says that you're supposed to be as your father or be children of your father. And the word is huios or huios, which means adult children. He says, grow up. How can I grow up? Love your enemies. How can I grow up? Turn the other cheek. How can I be mature in Christ? Somebody sues me in court, takes my coat, give him my vest too. How can I be mature in Christ? He says, bless those that curse you. That's the way. Bless those that curse you. Now, if you curse back, that means you're not mature. If you fight back, that means you're not mature. If somebody sues you and you don't say, I'll give you more than you sue for, then you say, well, how's that not natural? I'm talking about supernatural growth here, you see. So, he said, grow up. It's time you grew up. And then he goes ahead, but before that, he lists all those ways to grow. He lists the vitamins you take to grow. The vitamin, listen to me now, wake up. The vitamins of blessing those that curse you. The vitamin of turning the other cheek. The vitamin of loving those that hate you. And in verse 44, he says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to those that hate you, and pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you for my sake, for great is your reward in heaven. Now, hear me carefully now. This is maturity. Now, if it's maturity to not fight back, then it's immaturity to fight back. If it's maturity to turn the other cheek, then it's immaturity to hit him back when he hits you on one cheek. Well, you said, the house, I don't understand that. I'm just telling you what the Savior said. So far, about all done is just read what he says. Now, if it is maturity, if somebody sues you, in the first place, it's unscriptural for one Christian to sue another. Let me say it again. It's unscriptural for one Christian to sue another. Let me say it again. It's unchristian for one Christian to sue another. It's unscriptural. It's unchristian. It's wrong. It's sin. But if somebody does sue you and the judge says, all right, I say your coat belongs to him. Okay, Mr. Judge, you can have my vest also. Now, if it's maturity to give your vest also, it's immaturity not to do so. If it's maturity to love your enemies, it's immaturity not to love your enemies. If it's maturity to bless those that curse you, it's immaturity to curse back. If it's maturity to do good to those that hate you, I'm talking about doing good. I'm not talking about smiling. I'm talking about doing good. I'm not talking about being friendly. I'm talking about doing good. I'm talking about buying him a cheese quarter pounder or a Whopper. I'm talking about buying him a cold drink and putting some arsenic in it. I mean, I didn't mean that. No, you're not with me this morning. You're gone. You're way gone. I'm trying to tell you, if it's maturity to love your enemies, it is immaturity not to love you. And it's time for some of you folks to grow up. Now, listen carefully. He lists all these things. Don't fight back. Resist not evil. They smite your right cheek, turn the other. If any man sue you and take away your coat, let him have your vest also. Compel you to go a mile, go with him too. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that's powerful. Hey, you folks that say amen when I preach against I Love Lucy, are pretty quiet today. Bible doesn't say maturity is because you don't smoke cigarettes. Bible doesn't say you're a mature Christian if you don't take a nip of beer every once in a while, though you shouldn't do either one of those things. The Bible equates maturity with not fighting back, turning the other cheek, loving those that hate you, doing good to those that despise, praying for those that despitefully use you, and doing good to those that hate you and loving you. That's maturity. And it's time you grew up. I'll get him back. Immaturity. He won't speak to me. I won't speak to him. Immaturity. But I notice he ends it by saying this, that ye may be, in verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Do all these things so you can be a grown child. That's what he's saying. That implies that if you don't do these things, you're not a grown child. That implies you're a baby. Now, in verse 48, he ends the whole thing by saying, be ye therefore perfect. Are you listening? Be ye therefore mature. Are you listening? Be ye perfect. Be grown up. Be an adult, if you please. And he gave you how to do it. Now, that maturity, now hear me carefully. Here's the sermon. I'm surprising you. I'm going to change direction here. Here's what you never heard before. There's more to that than just saying, love those that hate you. What he's saying is this. Maturity is when your actions are determined by your will rather than by your response. You follow me? Maturity is when you act because you decide to act rather than react. Maturity is when you say, I will decide the way I act, and my actions won't always be okay. Your reaction is immaturity, but maturity is when you say, I will decide. Now, let me illustrate. It's natural when man hits to hit back. But hear me carefully. When you hit back, when he hits you, he has taken over leadership of your will. He has decided when you act. If a fella hits you, you say, I'll get you back. Then he said, boy, I'm a he-man. I defend myself. No, you're a he-man when you decide when to hit. This whole passage here is not saying you're mature when you love your enemies. It's saying you're mature when your enemy doesn't decide when you love or hate. Same thing with man hits. He's determined your actions. He's taken over the leadership of your life. Same thing is true not with hitting back, but hating back. I hate him. He's mistreated me. He's telling you when to hate. And God said it's none of his business to tell you when to hate. You decide when to hate. And by the way, you ought to hate sometimes. Supposed to hate evil, supposed to hate the devil, supposed to hate sin, supposed to hate wrong, supposed to hate communism, supposed to hate liberalism, supposed to hate abortion, supposed to hate murder, supposed to hate cursing, supposed to hate playboy philosophy, supposed to hate rock music, you're supposed to hate. But you are supposed to decide when you hate, but when you hate back because somebody hates you, he has taken over leadership of your life and decides when you hate. Same is true with loving back. I love her because she loves me. She's telling you when to love. She's taken leadership of your life. Boy, I love him because he loves me. Oh, you say, yeah, but the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. That's not saying that he loved us and so we love him because he loves us. That's saying God is love. We couldn't love if he hadn't given us love. But the truth is, God is saying here, you're not supposed to let somebody determine when you hate because they hate you. You be mad enough to decide when you hate and when you love and when you hit. Amen. Same thing is true about blessing. I said, bless those that curse you. Now look, folks. If you bless those that bless you, they're telling you when to bless. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because I may decide to bless you, but I shouldn't bless you because you bless me. But if you curse me, then it is not natural for me to bless you back. So I can't by impulse bless you back. I must will to bless you back. Are you listening to me? I must decide to bless you back. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what maturity is. That means this. It means that God is saying here, love those that hate you, pray for those that spitefully use you, do good to those that love your enemies, do good to those that hate you, bless those that curse you. God is going far beyond just the act itself. He's saying, in these cases, you will not do it. You won't do good to those that hate you by reflex. You won't bless those that curse you by reflex. You won't love your enemies by reflex. By reflex, you'll hate your enemies. By reflex, you'll do bad to those that hate you. By reflex, you'll curse those that curse you. God said, just in case anybody wants to grow up and be mature, then you decide when you hate. You decide when you love. You decide when you bless. You decide when you curse. I don't mean bad words here now, but you decide. Same thing is true with loving back, blessing back, cursing back, or doing good back, or doing bad back. Maturity says, I'm asking you so far, how tall are you? Huh? About 1'2"? Some of you sanctified, petrified, Simonized Christians wouldn't touch a sinner with a 10-foot pole. Wouldn't touch a Camel or a Lucky Strike. Wouldn't touch a Winston, though it tastes good like a cigarette should. You wouldn't sip a bottle of beer. And by the way, you shouldn't smoke and you shouldn't drink. But that is not the measuring stick for Christian maturity. How tall are you? Do you say, oh, that makes me mad. Boy, he just turns me on. Maturity is when you turn yourself on. And you decide when you get turned on, and that way some hussy won't turn you on. Don't you give any gorgeous creature with paint on her face and a little wiggle in her walk, don't you give some gorgeous creature leadership in your life. You decide when you're turned on. That's maturity. Let me go to you truck drivers here. You look like he-men, all but the women. You look like he-men. You probably take me out in the alley, and you probably he-men enough, if we went out in the alley and fought, you probably could last 5 minutes. But you're on the road. You're by yourself. You're going through Wyoming, Montana, Nevada. You stop at a little stop there, and some little gal who's a waitress there lures you upstairs. And you say, boy, I'm a he-man. I'm a he-man. I appeal to her. And no, you're not. No, you're not a he-man. You're a he-man when you go back home and your wife, you say to your wife, you're going to turn me on. I'm saying, God is saying here, he's saying you're mature, and he lists the things that you do when you're mature, but all of them have one thing in common. External stimuli does not turn you on. You decide to turn on love when you get ready to turn on love. And hatred. And blessing. Maturity says you won't decide when I hit. If I ever hit, I'll say that person ought to be hit. And I'm one that ought to hit him. It'll help him if I hit him. It'll help me too. But it'll help him if I hit him. It's best for him if I hit him, so wham. That's maturity. Immaturity says, let's put it this way. Immaturity is when reflex determines your actions, and maturity is when the will determines your actions. Maturity says, I will decide when I hit. Maturity says, I will decide when I hate. Maturity says, I will decide when I love. Maturity says, I will decide when I bless. Maturity says, I will decide when I place a curse on something. Maturity says, I will decide when I do good. Immaturity lives by response and acts. Maturity lives and acts by the will. That's why the Bible says, if you conquer your own spirit, you're greater than a fellow that conquers a city. You're greater than General Patton if you can conquer your own spirit. You're greater than General MacArthur if you can conquer your own spirit. And I'll tell you what God is simply saying here. It takes more manhood to conquer your own spirit and control your own action than it does to win World War II. That's what God is saying here. God is saying it takes more manhood and more maturity to decide whom you love and when you love and whom you hate and when you hate and whom you bless and when you bless and what the good you do and when you do good. God said you got more maturity than the fellows who fought on Normandy. Maturity lives and acts by the will. But here's the way you live, you immature people. You act in response to advertisements. Music. Listen to me. No song is going to decide what mood I'm in. And once in a while somebody said, don't you allow soft organ music during the invitation? Nope. How about when you pray? Don't you allow soft every once in a while? I'll be praying somewhere and some old gal's over. It reminds me of Stella Dallas, soap operas. Dr. Rice and I were down here in Kankakee and this big old fat fella around. Nothing wrong with being fat. But this guy was real fat. I mean 500 pounds fat. He's playing the organ. Dr. Rice started praying, oh, God. And the fellow kept playing the organ. Dr. Rice said, hold it. Stop that box. Dr. Rice, oh, God. The fellow kept on playing. Dr. Rice said, stop the box. The fellow said, well, it'll make us in more worshipful mood. Dr. Rice says, then let's take out all the pews and tap dance while I pray. Brother, music shouldn't get me in the mood to pray. My will should get me in the mood to pray. And music should not determine my will. I should decide. Now, music does affect you, but I should decide what I need to do and then choose the music that'll make me do what I've already decided to do. I'm in charge here, thank you. We are determined by ads, music, weather, commercials, billboards, catalogs. Back to our dog Fritz. Back to Fritz. Bless his immortal soul. He's up there right now looking down on us. Fritz was a schnauzer. One of our girls could go to the piano and start playing. And that did something to Fritz's nervous structure. Most of our girls played, did something to my nervous structure too. Fritz would go to that piano while she was playing, put his head up in the air, and all the time she was playing, ooh, 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 and sing. I could go over there and play, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and Fritz would sing. That's the way you live. You sing when the music's playing. Commercials decide what you buy. The way you're treated determines how you behave. You're not in control. And the sad thing is, to many of you, giving your enemies control of your life. If my enemies could get me to fight back, that's exactly what they want. And that's what they're going to get. But that's what they want. They're not going to determine when I fight. I'll determine when I fight. Jesus said, it's time to grow up. Well, how do I grow up? He said, don't return evil for evil. He said, turn the other cheek. He said, if somebody sues you at court, takes away your coat, give them your vest too. He says, compelled you to go a mile, go 2 miles. How can I grow up? He said, love your enemies, bless those that curse you, do good to those that hate you, pray for those that spitefully use you. And then he says that ye may be the grown children, that ye may be perfect or mature. And as I said a while ago, there's a lot more to it. Maturity is when your actions are of the will rather than the response. And Jesus said the natural response to somebody hating you is to hate them back. He said the natural response to somebody cursing you is to curse them back. The natural response is somebody sues you for a coat, sue them back. The natural response for somebody to do evil to you, do evil back. But Jesus said, I want you to grow up. I want you to be the adult children of my Father. And he said, the way you do that is when the natural thing of responding and action, acting by response, that means you don't do that. It means you decide against, go upstream in your behavior. You take over your life. You say, and that's where the liberals are full of prunes, one in one area. They say you never should hate. They're wrong. You should hate. Bible says you ought to love good and hate evil. But you decide when to hate. By the way, you shouldn't hate anybody. But you decide when to hate. You decide when to bless. You decide when to love. And don't wait until somebody blesses you to, by reflex, bless them back. When they curse you, by the will, bless them back. Take charge of your life. How tall are you? Huh? Hello there. How are you today? Got a lot of dwarfs here. A lot of little midgets here. A lot of folks been saved 30 years. You're not 6 inches tall. Why? Because you have said to those people that hate you the most, take over my life. You said, control my will. I will respond to your actions. And Jesus said, don't respond. He said, if they do evil to you, you decide your response. If they smite you, you decide your response. If they sue you, you decide your response. If they compel you to go a mile, you decide your response. If they're your enemies, you decide your response. If they curse you, you decide your response. If they hate you, you decide your response. If they persecute you and despitefully use you, you decide your response. And that's masculinity. Amen. Some of you big guys look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yep. You think you're a he-man. Your spiritual bicep is about the size of a little grape. And don't you come showing your stupid physique to me. Amen. I haven't got time for you, puny. Weakling. If you went to the beach and wore your spiritual size, you shouldn't wear a bathing suit. Don't wear a t-shirt in public if it's your spiritual size. You want to be a man? Hey, you want to be a man? A real he-man? Not like some dirty, rotten, stinking whore in Hollywood. I'm talking about a real man. Then take over your life and you decide with your will what you're supposed to do. That's what you call growing up. Amen. Amen. How do you measure? Our Heavenly Father.